Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Hey, you guys. It is so awesome to be back making podcasts after a long summer at home with six kids who finally went back to school last week. I am so happy to be back into a normal routine and to be connecting with you. I have missed you. And I hope you've missed me too. In the time that I have been coaching my clients and just trying to hold a household down with six kids, I have been keeping a list of all of the things that I need to talk to you about. Like, there's quite a few topics that I have lined up coming up for you. I also have some really big news. I am pregnant and I'm already like halfway through, you guys. I'm due in middle of January with number 7. And so that means I'm going to have to change my podcast intro to say that I have 7 angels instead of 6. I don't know what I'm having yet, but I'm pretty sure it's a boy. But I wanted to make that happy announcement with you and just give you a big virtual hug. I have been thinking of you so often, and I still receive applications on the regular from people who come to me from this podcast wanting to work with me. And it's just such a strong, powerful reminder that this podcast is out there helping people like night and day who aren't getting support from the people that, you know, provide their healthcare. So I do recognize that this is a really important resource, and I want to continue to nurture and grow and provide you with life-changing, empowering, and of course, inspiring information that allows you to take control and be in the driver's seat of your own body and your own health and your own future. So today I want to talk to you about a topic that was actually suggested to me by one of my clients because she's really curious about how to help her inflammation. She has quite a few symptoms of chronic inflammation in her body. And I love this topic because it's very intimately related to insulin resistance. Insulin resistance being that defining characteristic of type 2 diabetes, right? And I really like to think about what we're doing as reversing insulin resistance rather than reversing type 2 diabetes. Because remember, when we label insulin resistance as pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes, we lose the sense that we're on a continuum of a disease process, right? Because when we say pre-diabetes, we're talking about specific blood sugar readings that push you into that category. And when we say you have type 2 diabetes, now your numbers have increased to the point where you've crossed that threshold, you know, that A1C of 6.5% or that fasting blood sugar of 126 in the US, where we say, oh, now you have this new problem called type 2 diabetes. When we talk about it as insulin resistance, we remember that we're on a continuum of a disease process, a continuum that starts with the elevation of insulin and the accumulation of body fat in those ectopic sites, those visceral abdominal sites that it's not supposed to be, and how this causes us to become less responsive to that hormone insulin, and how this causes a worsening of our insulin, inappropriately elevated insulin levels. And as we look at how insulin resistance develops, the last thing that shows up to alert us that we're on this continuum is your blood sugar readings, right? By the time we see that your blood sugar readings are high, the house is on fire and it's burning down. Okay, so I don't like to be so focused on just your blood sugars because then we take our eye off of the root cause, which is a lifestyle that drives hyperinsulinemia, those abnormally elevated levels of insulin. And that fat storage state that keeps us moving forward down the continuum of insulin resistance. All right, so that was a little bit of a sidetrack, but let's go back to talking about inflammation because that's what this podcast is all about today. So we're going to first start off talking about the fact that inflammation and insulin resistance have a very close relationship and that they have this weird feedback loop where one drives the other and then the other drives the one. So it's kind of like this circle that can drive itself. But also, I want to talk about how to know if you have chronic inflammation in your body. And I want to help you identify what might be causing your chronic inflammation. And then, of course, what would this podcast be useful for if we can at least point out the problem, but then not help you solve it? So I do want to spend the last part of this podcast today talking about how to heal your chronic inflammation. So let's start talking about inflammation and the relationship it has to insulin resistance. Okay, so first, what is inflammation? Well, most of us are familiar with an appropriate inflammatory response to things that are harming our bodies, our physical bodies, because inflammation is a process that's protective and it's meant to help us respond to some kind of harm, some kind of threat to the body. And these would be things like infections or injuries. So all of us have probably had, upper respiratory tract infection, or a sinus infection or ear infection, right? And all of us have probably had some kind of skin infection where, maybe like your hangnail got really red and irritated, or maybe you had like an injury, like a bee sting, or you sprained your ankle. Well, what all of these different injuries and infections will have in common is that initial inflammatory response. So you're going to see the area that's injured or the place that's infected get really red and swollen. You're going to see sometimes it get really hot. And of course, you're going to see pain there too, because the pain is meant to alert you to the fact that your body's trying to heal so that you can protect that area. Okay, so That response is appropriate to help you heal from some kind of injury or infection. The problem happens when we don't have just an acute response, but it just becomes chronic. It's ongoing. It's going on and on for weeks, months, and sometimes years. And people who have insulin resistance have chronic inflammation on some level in their body. Now, inflammation is going to, in the process of your immune system responding, it's going to release a bunch of chemicals called cytokines, and these all have very important functions in order to assist the healing process, okay? But we're just going to stay out of the weeds and just talk about it in general terms. But these inflammatory chemicals called cytokines, they cause insulin resistance directly. Okay, so they suppress healthy insulin signaling directly. That means that insulin, which is meant to bind and tell your body to take up nutrients like glucose into the cell and to grow and build new things, right? And then to store extra. That's the signal that insulin is sending when it binds and has its action. That signal is not able to be delivered when there's cytokines that are suppressing that signaling. And so that means that insulin's not able to send its message and you become insulin resistant. So for sure, inflammation by itself will cause insulin resistance. But then there's another pathway that inflammation drives insulin resistance. So when we have inflammation in the body, in an acute response to like an infection or an injury, your body will release a stress hormone called cortisol. Okay, and cortisol release is meant to suppress inflammation. It's meant to keep that inflammation in check. But when we have chronic inflammation, where those cytokines are being released, right, like all the time for long periods of time, cortisol is responding, but it's responding now chronically to chronic inflammation. So you have this ongoing, abnormally elevated level of cortisol as well. And that cortisol causes insulin resistance through a couple different mechanisms. That's a problem. And then on top of it all, insulin resistance by itself has been shown in research to cause inflammation. So now you've got inflammation driving insulin resistance, and then insulin resistance driving inflammation. And it's just this vicious cycle that can develop. And so that's important to see. It's important to see that inflammation and insulin resistance go together. Okay. But a lot of you may be asking, well, you know, how do I know if I have inflammation? And there are some clear ways to be able to tell. One of the most, useful ways to check for the body for inflammation is something your doctor will have to check. That's called a C-reactive protein, a CRP level. And that's a protein made by the liver in response to inflammation in the body. People who have elevated CRP have chronic inflammation. They have inflammation in the body, and they're a much higher risk for cardiovascular disease and, you know, poor outcomes. So it is good to have that as part of your routine blood work. But if you can't check your labs, how can you know, right, if you have inflammation? Well, there are several ways to know. One of the most obvious ways to know is that you feel like garbage. Okay, you're like run down all the time and you're tired, and that's just a consequence of your immune system being overtaxed. Okay, another really easy way to be able to tell would be you have body pain, you have joint pain, somewhere in your body you're having pain on a chronic basis. Another sign would be swelling or just even appearing swollen. A lot of my clients, when they correct their diet in a way that helps them, you know, relieve this inflammatory response, like they notice that they just shrink even before they lose a whole lot of weight. Like they're shrinking because the swelling is going down from that inflammatory process. Another way to be able to tell would be having gut problems, like especially when you eat certain kinds of foods, like if you have a dairy intolerance or gluten or something like that. Like today I was coaching somebody who has a peanut intolerance. And then we realized, wow, it's not just peanuts, right? I was teaching her that she has a legume sensitivity. She can't have any kind of legumes, which includes lots of beans and peas. And so that's really important for her to know, because when she eats those things, her whole belly blows up and she has pain and, you know, probably some problems with her stool. And this is simply the body saying, uh-oh, I don't tolerate this. And you can bet that inflammation is going to be following that insult to the gut. All right. And then some other obvious ways would be to tell if you have inflammation in the body would be like chronic skin rashes, anywhere on the body that seem to persist or at least recur frequently. This would definitely be a sign as well. So the next logical question would be, what the heck is causing my chronic inflammation? Very good question. There's many, many causes, and we're going to go through them categorically so it doesn't feel so overwhelming to listen to. But the biggest one that I think is like the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, would be things in your diet. So this is going to be the most obvious things, like sugar and flour. They're highly inflammatory foods. And also don't forget about those toxic oils, those trans fats or hydrogenated oils that are in our food, especially the ultra processed packaged foods. Those are always going to contain these inflammatory oils that even end up getting stored in your fat tissue and then cause chronic inflammation that way. There are a number of toxins that we get exposed to in our environment that cause chronic inflammation. And many of these you won't be able to know about necessarily if you're affected by them or not, but I'll just include them here. So mold toxins and heavy metals, and also pesticides and preservatives that are in our food, for example. A big one that many people don't pay enough attention to is going to be stress, emotional stress, right? I have a whole podcast for you to go back and listen to of how to regulate and manage stress, but stress by itself causes inflammation in the body. It's really important to remember that when you're thinking about solutions. All right, another big one's going to be food intolerances. Okay, so I was just coaching a client this morning who mentioned that when she eats peanuts, she has terrible gut reactions. And in discussion, I was able to see that she actually has a legume allergy. She can't tolerate soy. And then there's a whole bunch of other things in that category she wasn't really aware of. So that would be like many different kinds of beans, and lentils and peas. These are all in the legume family. And why is that important to know? Well, because if you're ingesting something that you have a sensitivity to, your body is going to have inflammation in response, right? It's like an injury or an insult to your gut when you consume something that you are intolerant of. And so if you have a known food sensitivity or a straight up allergy, right? Gluten or dairy, whatever it is, if you repeatedly expose your body to that, you're going to be eliciting an immune reaction to it and thereby inflammation. So it's really important to cut those out completely. There are also other kinds of allergens that you might be exposing yourself to that you know like are not, your body does not agree with. You want to cut those out too. If it's certain kinds of soaps or just things that you have in your environment. I don't know. It's really hard, right? If you're allergic to your cat, but you like really love your cat. I understand. So there's, of course, two infections, right? Chronic infections would cause chronic inflammation. And I don't know if this is really that helpful, but I'll just mention it because I want to be complete. But there are, you know, ways to tell if you have overgrowth of candida in your body, for example, which is a type of yeast. Like if you're a person who gets thrush, you get vaginal yeast infections, you have a lot of anal itching. There are ways to tell that you have overgrowth of candida in and outside of your body that could also be causing a chronic inflammatory response, right? It's a chronic infection. There's a couple other things I want to spend a second on. So one of them is obesity. For a long time, we have clearly been able to demonstrate in research that obesity by itself causes inflammation, especially chronic, like especially central adiposity. So that's that fat that we're storing underneath our muscle inside of our abdominal cavity. It's like that beer belly looking, you know, belly when the rest of the body is pretty lean, but then the belly is really big. That is a very apple shape, and it is a very clear sign of central obesity where we're storing our fat inside and around our organs. That is especially inflammatory because that fat tissue, that adipose tissue is going to be releasing its own barrage of cytokines, and that causes chronic inflammation. And so that's good to know, right? Like if you are obese, which most people who have diabetes have excess body fat on them, simply losing that weight is going to be really helpful for reducing chronic inflammation. And then the last thing I want to mention as a cause for chronic inflammation is an autoimmune disorder, right? So many of my clients have like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is the condition where their thyroid does not work properly and they have to take thyroid supplements. Another common autoimmune disease would be psoriasis or rheumatoid arthritis. And also don't forget, type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune condition. Autoimmune just simply means an inappropriate immune response to something that is part of your body. like attacking and destroying structures in your own body is what defines autoimmunity. And so that is a condition of chronic inflammation, and chronic inflammation causes insulin resistance. So now that we've investigated all these, you know, what is inflammation? What causes it? How to tell if you have it? Now I want to shift. I want to talk about solutions, because that's really what this podcast is here for. It's to teach you how to solve your own problems. or at least get some help in solving your problems. So it's very simple. And I love to keep it simple, right? I'm not trying to make things complicated. This sounds complicated, but it's actually really simple to fix most of the time. So I'm going to just separate this into the three big pillars, okay? The first one is what you're putting in your body. Number one is going to be eating real, whole, high-quality food, okay? So that means eliminating, like we just talked about, things that inflame you, like your food intolerances, or eliminating those toxic oils, right? And those preserved packaged foods. And watch out, they're kind of everywhere. So it's good to read your labels, like even, you know, mayonnaise, salad dressing, things like that. As much as possible, reduce them and never ever cook with them if you can, you know, avoid it. All right. So then eliminating also inflammatory things like sugar, flour, right? Those refined carbohydrates that cause that massive spike in your blood sugar. And this is also a very interesting aside. When your blood sugar spikes rapidly like that, your body perceives this as a problem, an urgent problem, okay? Your body kind of goes, oh no, right? And that's a stress response for some of us. This is very interesting. It's been demonstrated in clinical research where people were fed, children especially, I'm thinking of a study in children, were fed refined carbohydrates and their cortisol levels were measured. And cortisol is that stress hormone. Remember the one that we just talked about that actually causes insulin resistance? So not only did the blood sugar and then, of course, the insulin spike with these refined carbohydrates, but so did the cortisol level. And cortisol is going to direct you to store even more fat, right? And it's going to have you storing your fat in the worst places, in that central location in your body, which again causes inflammation, right? So when you eat these refined carbs and your blood sugar spikes, your insulin is going to spike, counterproductive, right? Plus, you're going to be releasing a bunch of cortisol, and that's going to have you storing fat. Combining that with all the inflammation that those foods cause, you can see how damaging and destructive that these kinds of foods are to the body. So instead of eating those things, I want you to focus on eating healthy fats, right? Especially the kind that come from plants and, of course, animals like olives, nuts, avocados, and salmon and sardines. These are healthy fats, and some of them are, like the omega-3s, are actually anti-inflammatory. And then we want to eat, you know, high fiber, harder to break down forms of complex carbohydrates instead of those refined kind. We also want to consume the rainbow, right? Eating lots of vegetables and fruits that have, you know, deep, vibrant color, because that's a sign that they contain lots of minerals and lots of phytonutrients, which are also powerfully anti-inflammatory. So those would be the big tenets for what to eat, okay? And then the second component to actively reducing chronic inflammation is going to be to work in some exercise. It's important that we move our bodies. I recently heard someone talking about this in a way that was just so simple, which I, of course, that appeals to me and I love, but also profound. Our bodies need to remove waste, right? Just as a consequence of metabolism, cellular metabolism, even when you're not even doing anything, you're just sitting there, you're burning fuel. And those those byproducts that come from metabolism and the burning of fuel need to be eliminated. There, you know, sometimes they're oxidative stressors, free radicals, or they're just waste products. And in order to move those out effectively and clear them out of the body, we're going to need to move our bodies. And so just simply moving your body, like going for a walk even, is going to help you eliminate waste from the body. Also, you know, there's so many other reasons why moving your body is really helpful, but it does reduce inflammation. We're going to be building muscle when we move, and we're going to be strengthening our cardiovascular system, and we're going to correct insulin resistance, right? We become more sensitive to insulin when our muscles are contracting and when we have burned up a bunch of fuel that is stored inside the muscle tissue. And all of this is really also good for the mood. It's good for processing stress, right? Stress relief alone from exercise can bring inflammation down. And as you can see, like moving your body is also going to help you remove or let go of more stored body fat, which is going to also decrease that central adiposity, which drives inflammation. So in all these different ways, exercise is going to be a big component for helping you heal from chronic inflammation. The third component is going to be managing your stress, right? Remember that stress, like emotional stress, I'm talking about the kind of stress that day to day we can't eliminate, financial, relationship, work, all that stress that is part of all of our lives drives chronic inflammation by itself. And so learning how to shift your body out of fight or flight and into rest and digest and healing, though, that regulation of your nervous system is a skill. And many of us can't get rid of the stress in our lives. And I don't think you really need to. I think you just need to gain some awareness of when your body is in survival mode, when you're having a fight or flight response, and learn how to calm, relax, open up, and shift your nervous system. There's a whole podcast I've created about how to do this, called Does Stress Cause High Blood Sugars? It's back from February, I believe. Okay, so eating real, whole, clean food, high quality food, moving your body through exercise, and managing your stress are all three also very important components to not just reducing chronic inflammation, but being able to liberate extra stored body fat, right? Especially that visceral inflammatory kind. And if you can reduce your body fat, you're going to be able to reduce your chronic inflammation as well. Okay, so that is all about inflammation. What is it? What causes it? Why it's a problem? And how to tell if you have it? And then also, what to do about it? Now that you have these very simple and clear guidelines for how to reduce your chronic inflammation, I hope that you will begin to apply them immediately in your life. And if you're struggling with that, I understand. All of my clients hire me because they need some help. If you're interested in getting some assistance or some support in doing something epic, like reversing your type 2 diabetes and getting off your meds, you can learn how to work with me and even apply on my website at sarahtownley.com. All right, I hope that I get to talk to you again next week. And if not, don't worry, I'll be back. I'm committed to you guys. And of course, I'd love to hear from you too. If you want to go on my website and just send me a message, that would be awesome. All right, I'll talk to you guys on the next podcast. High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownley.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.